Hello and welcome to Mock Mining Stock Daily with me, Paul Harris. Today, I'm joined by Garrett Ainsworth, President and CEO of District Metals. Good morning, Garrett.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. District Metals is familiar to our audience. We've done several of these with you. So given that we're coming towards the end of 2021, why don't we start with a review of the year? What's gone well? What perhaps hasn't gone so well? Have you achieved what you set out to achieve this year? General status update about the company.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been a really busy year for District Metals. Working in the Bergslagen district, our flagship Tom Thibault project, high-grade polymetallic. We completed our phase one drill program over the past spring, where we drilled 5,600 meters in 22 holes, put out a number of wide intercepts of high-grade polymetallic mineralization. Some were more copper rich, others were more zinc rich and also more silver rich. So it depends which part of the system that you're in, but we're starting to see some good continuity of very significant mineralized lenses at Tom Thibault, which has led us to our phase two drill program, which started in early October. 5,000 meters, two drill rigs. It looks like it's going to be about 14 or 16 drill holes when it's all said and done. We've already put out visuals from two holes, holes 25 and 28, which intercept very significant intervals of massive sulfides that were very zinc rich. And actually yesterday we just put out drill assay results on hole 25, which returned 14.3 meters of about 14.2% zinc equivalent. And again, that continuity is really showing up in an area that we call the Steffenberg zone. And then apart from our drilling at Tom Thibault over the summer, we also picked up two new advanced stage exploration projects that are within 45 kilometers of our flagship Tom Thibault property. These two new acquisitions are called Groove Barriet and Svarjo. And again, they have past production on them, historic drilling that shows mineralization open in many directions. So we're going to we've already started airborne electromagnetic surveys at both these projects, and we're going to follow the same systematic exploration method that we did at Tom Thibault, and which is what we found very successful.
Okay, you've got three of the, let's say, the hottest minerals in that mix there. Zinc, copper, and silver, they've all experienced or experiencing some price increases over the past year or so, particularly copper and zinc. Are you starting to get more of a broader reception from the investor community, given that there is acknowledged shortages of copper and zinc in the pipeline? The world needs more copper and zinc projects, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to see, especially zinc, come up off some of its lows. When we started with District Metals, I think zinc was sitting around 80 cents, maybe 85 cents, and now $1.40. Obviously, copper is gone much, much higher since we started in the Bergslagen. What our challenge is the company is communicating, what the different metals mean at Tom Thibault and our other projects. And so, we try to crunch it out into an in-situ value per ton. I mean, it's good to do metal equivalencies to a certain degree, but the in-situ value per ton is also very helpful. And, what we're seeing in terms of that metric, we've been hitting very significant intercepts on that basis alone when you compare to the nearby Garpenberg mine, which is operated by Boliden.
Okay, I want to get back to Boliden in just a moment, but you mentioned that phase one drilling was completed, you started phase two. At what point will you start sort of doing the sort of metallurgical work? Because having lots of metals, nice and great, but you've actually got to get it out of the ground, and the recoveries and things of that nature start becoming more and more important, more critical.
Yeah, and that's a good question, especially when you're talking polymetallic, because there are jurisdictions with polymetallic deposits that have challenges with metallurgy. That's not the case in the Bergslagen, which is where we're operating. And that's largely due to the fact that the Bergslagen has undergone a higher level of metamorphism, so more heat and pressure to the rocks and mineralization. So what that does is it creates larger crystals of sulfides, which improves your recovery. And in the same sense, it also mobilizes some of the deleterious metals like arsenic, antimony, mercury, and it kind of takes them away from, you know, the minerals of, or the metals of interest. So it almost cleans your ore, so you don't get penalized at the smelter. We have not done any metallurgy. We don't really plan on doing that, you know, right away. I think that's something to do right before a resource estimate, or during, or right after, very, very, very closely associated with that. But, you know, we have good analogies at Garpenberg mine, where, you know, zinc is like 94% recovered, silver is 78% recovered, you know, lead's 84% recovered, gold is, I think, is 65%. With the copper as well, but then at Zinkgruvan, you know, the copper comes back 90%. So it's it's all how you configure your mineral processing facility. And at obviously Garpenberg, they haven't targeted it towards the gold or the copper, because the main you know, metals there are zinc and silver.
And how similar do you think the Tomtebo is to Garpenberg from a, let's say, geological point of view, and therefore the replicability of the metallurgical results that they get, that you know, that you expect perhaps you'll be able to get as well?
Yes, and that was kind of one of the main draws early on, is that from the information we had on our hands, you know, it looked like there were quite a few similarities in terms of like the geology, the structure, the styles of mineralization and whatnot. So, but I mean, as we've been drilling the mineralization at Tomtebo, the true litmus test has been our technical advisor, Rodney Allen, who played a really significant role at Garpenberg in, you know, making some, him and his team made some key discoveries that took Garpenberg from near closure to being a tier one asset. He's actually stated that we have, especially at the Oscarsgruvan zone, the mineralization looks very similar, and that's open mineralization at a depth of 200 meters, which is significant because at Garpenberg, they're mining down at the 1400 meter level, and they have resources down to 1600 meters.
Okay. Now, sort of going a bit deeper into the Boliden, I mean, Sweden, Scandinavia in general is getting more and more exploration attention. Boliden's obviously the long established company there, but you've got B2Gold, Agnico Eagle, they're all exploring there and doing good things there. Why do you think there's been that sort of resurgence in interest in that corner of the world over the past couple of years?
It's, you know, it's, when I first started looking at Scandinavia, I was really blown away by the opportunity that's presented there. And just to give a bit of a backstory, you know, it was only state-owned companies that were allowed to do exploration and mining in Scandinavia. So like Norway, Sweden, and Finland up until the 1990s. So they did not allow foreign companies to come in up until the 1990s. So that has left huge swaths of land, of ground, you know, with historic mines that date back to medieval times that have not seen modern systematic exploration. When they opened up Sweden in the 1990s, there were some foreign companies that came in. Rio Tinto was one of them, BHP. There was a wave of juniors that came in 2004, along with the commodity bull market that we had at that time. And then they kind of fizzled out by, you know, 2012. Things were fairly quiet for juniors from 2012 up until 2019, but it's really started to pick back up. And I mean, it's, to me, jurisdictionally, like for permitting, it really ticks all the boxes that you look for a place to work and you know, potentially make a world-class discovery.
Excellent. Thank you. Well, it sounds like you're going along very well. Now, so looking ahead to 2022, you've got the 5,000 meter phase two drilling program underway. It's typically the time of year when companies are sort of doing budgets and making their plans for the year ahead. What is going to be within your plans for 2022?
Yep. So that's, I mean, we announced today a financing, a $3 million financing brokered through Haywood. So that's obviously going to have some input as to you know, what exactly we do early 2022. I mean, we're already getting our heads around what a phase three drill program at Tom Tebow looks like. Obviously, stepping out from the significant massive sulfides that we've hit at the Steffenbergs zone, we haven't really pinned down or got board approval for the meterage. But you know, it wouldn't be surprising if it's fairly similar to what's been done in the past. And then we're also going to continue our work on advancing our two new acquisitions. And I think next in line to get drilled would be our Groove Barriott property, which is, you know, 45 kilometers northwest of our flagship Tom Tebow property. So it's going to be a very busy 2022 for sure.
Well, that's good to hear. How far away do you think you are from an initial resource estimate on Tom Tebow? You mentioned phase three drilling. Will that be enough, or will you have to do another round after that, do you think?
Yeah, it's definitely a tough question, and it's really based on results that we get. So that is really what will propel us to the resource estimation stage. You know, the bar to attain a standalone operation in the Bergslagen is theoretically set at 10 million tons. It's actually not that high of a bar if you look at how large Garpenberg are, Zinkgruvan and Falun. But that's my understanding of what would, you know, potentially work in the Bergslagen. So I mean, if we can get to, you know, halfway there with a resource, then it would make sense to push the button to kind of show people that we're sitting on something quite significant. I don't know if we'll be able to do it with one more drill program at Tom Tebow, but again, that it'll be very much results based on how that plays out.
Okay, well, wish you all the best of luck with that. Look forward to hearing much more as 2022 progresses. Fortunately, that's all we have time for today. So thank you very much, Garrett Ainsworth, President and CEO of District Metals, for joining us today on Mining Stock Daily.
Great. It was a pleasure. Thanks, Paul.
And that's all from me, from Paul Harris. Thank you very much. Until next time.